League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's your favorite Uncle Silk.
It's Dan.
And Delatorre.
Top of the top. Beautiful Monday morning, same corner, same time. Fellas, what's up with it?
Not a beautiful morning. It's like Armageddon in Gainesville. Crazy storm.
Work?
Yeah. Today, I'm not picking it up.
Yeah, those storms are coming here to Tampa here soon. But other than that, man, beautiful weekend. Got to go to a DJ show Saturday night. I got the hookup.
IG
boys.
Story. I seen the IG story a little bit. A little Bender vibes, no?
Bed by night.
Yeah. Had a good weekend. Went boating yesterday. But so there's a DJ group called Two Friends. Talked about them on the show. I've seen them a few times now. They have some of their own music, but they really just mix a lot of really like popular music. They're known for their big booty mixes, which are really popular.
Big booty mixes, not little booties.
Yeah, they have a series of mixes called Big Booty Mixes. They're on volume 24 right now. So they play a lot of just like popular music, mix it. I was able to get a table for a very, very discounted price. When I found out what the table next to us paid, I was very appreciative of my friend that hooked it up. The amount of money that people will spend on DJ shows is egregious.
Nice. Well, you made it seem like they picked up where now that's what I call music volume 47, like where that left off.
Yeah.
That's a lot of volumes, man.
You guys would like it. I think you guys would enjoy it. It's a mix of all types of music.
I like big booties. So I might as well check it out.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, big. Yeah, as a collective, I think all three of us could agree. But really good. Just good popular, good gym music, good just being out music. But the amount of money that people pay to be at these shows and to be where we were was egregious. So shout out to my buddy Joey.
I got a pocket watch now. Like, how much did you pay for your table, Dan?
Dude. The table next to us spent $12,000 just for the table.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And then they had to buy come with
big bottles.
No, it came with nothing. Came nothing.
No bottles, nothing.
Came with was a bunch of sausages for them.
Oh, that's crazy. Big $12,000 in the sausage passes. Unrighteous.
Yeah, no, my buddy Joey puts on these events around Tampa, and he reached out to me the day before because we were just going to go because there's like a little carnival and then the show. He reached out to me. We were able to get a really good deal. But the idea of spending, you know, after liquor and everything else, like $20,000 to go see a DJ anybody. That's crazy. Egregious.
Yeah.
That's Vegas price.
That was a
Miami
Vegas
too.
Price.
Miami as well. Yeah.
Nobody's willing to pay for that.
Since
no shot.
How was y'all's weekend? Big weekend in Gator sports. How was y'all's weekend?
I mean, I was too busy to catch up and keep up with all the Gator sports. So I was just, you know, vicariously living through Nick on the timeline with baseball. Missed the basketball game. I had to attend a funeral of an old friend of mine, childhood friend, like a cousin to me. His mom passed away, so had to go out to Belgrade to a funeral. Then I jetted down to Miami to do some work, so I wasn't able to sit in front of the TV and consume all the Gator sports that was going on this weekend, but we were active.
I think it was a big weekend. I think softball beat Alabama. I can't remember who they were playing. I think softball swept. Just that baseball all week, a really good series. I think Texas A&M is good coming into the weekend. We were thinking, have they played anybody? Maybe their record is inflated because they hadn't played anyone. They're a really good baseball team, and I feel better about Florida after this weekend. We'll get into it more later, but you know my weekends now.
Yeah, at the park. Baseball and then football during the week, right?
Football was off last week for spring break, but they're back tomorrow, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Not a fan of the hiatus in spring break. It's been fairly normal these past couple of years, but I'm just not a fan of it, man. You got to reacclimate. Like, it, because you got to have the acclimation period of you know, before you get into pass, and then you do 2 days and go away. Like, they don't restart the reacclimation, so it's just like.
Well, I think they can be. I think they can be in shoulder pads, shells for practice three. So maybe that's the thought behind it: is we'll do our two practices just in helmets. Mm-hmm, go right. Spring break. Take your iPad with you, please. Go over some stuff, and then when you come back, you're able to go in pads.
Do you think the boys brought the iPads out to the beach in Panama City? Or
I wouldn't, but I was not a D1 athlete.
It was out there do it, jam into the Big Booty Volume 17.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good one. It's a good one. Oh, man. All right, let's get into the show. Nick, Gator softball beat Indiana.
There it is. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Bama, Indiana, same thing.
Yeah, close enough. Close enough. Only two states between them. All right, boys, let's chat a little bit. Oh, if you're watching on YouTube, please hit the like button. Please hit the subscribe button as well. Allows the algorithms to push us up to the top so that we can introduce ourselves to more and more people. We appreciate everybody that is watching. Feel free to drop in any comments, commentary, super chats, obviously get looked at first, but always enjoy when the chat is active. As always, let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Lucy. If you are looking for delivered to your door nicotine pouches that are 100% pure nicotine and tobacco free, anything from the traditional pouches that you're used to, we've talked about the flavor breakers before, and they have gum anywhere between 2 milligrams all the way up to 12 milligrams. Go visit lucy.co/stadium. Again, that's lucy.co/stadium. I had somebody reach out to us and said that these products help them kick their dip habit to move to nicotine. So, shout out to that person. So, traditional flavors that you're used to, the mint, wintergreen, they've got some different flavors, mango, apple ice, a few others as well. Go check them out. They also do monthly subscriptions where you will get 15% off when you do that. There is no commitment and you can cancel any time. So again, lucy.co/stadium will get you 20% off of your first order. Fine print Lucy products are only for adults of legal age and every order is age verified. Warning, this product does contain nicotine and nicotine is an addictive chemical. All right, gentlemen, Nick, let's talk a little bit about baseball. Gators go 2-2 this week, losing to FSU, lose one game against Texas A&M, do get the game on Friday and the game on Sunday against Texas A&M, win the series, first SEC win of the year, first SEC matchup of the year as well. Gators are now number 6, I believe, in D1 baseball.
Yeah, 6 up from 8.
Yep, number 6 up from 8. So, Nick, give us a little highlight reel of the week in Gators baseball.
Yeah, it Friday night started, and Cade Fisher looked great in the first inning and then gave up 5 in the second. And I think everyone in the ballpark was sitting there thinking, this is exactly what we thought would happen or was worried that would happen. To his credit, pitched well after that. I think gave up 1 run in the fourth. Ended up going 6 innings, kind of able to save the bullpen a little bit. Brandon Neely came in, and Florida just proved that they can hit. Texas A&M came in with the number 1 ERA in the country. The starter on Friday, I think, hadn't allowed a run all year, and they chased him early from the game, scored 6 in the first 3. Saturday was tough, and then Sunday, I think Jack didn't look as good as he had his first 3 starts, but battled through it, and you get a home run in the 8th to go up and win. So I think what I learned is that some of the pitchers are starting to come along. Luke McNeely, who I was really high on in the fall, but had struggled since the season started, came in, saved the game Sunday. I think Florida's offense is good enough to keep them in games and keep them competitive while these younger pitchers like figure it out. I think that was my big takeaway from the weekend. But Texas A&M was a very good baseball team. They could hit, pitch, played great defense. It was a really fun series.
Do you feel better about the pitching, the bullpen? No?
So Friday they went just two, and it was Cade Fisher and Brandon Neely. Saturday was kind of a mess. It was the same thing again, guys walking people. They used a bunch of pitchers there. And then Sunday was Slater, Neely, who are guys we already knew about, but McNeely coming in, he comes in the ninth inning and has to face 1-2-3 for the Aggies. So it was Kwame. So it was a tough part of the lineup. And for a kid who had struggled to get in there, ninth inning, top of the lineup, guys who had already hit home runs that game, facing them and to get three outs, get the save, showed a lot for me. Hopefully he takes that and gets some confidence, because he had given up 16 earned runs in his first 8 1/3. So he was looking for something positive.
Hey, Kwame, relax, man. We actually good in baseball. So we discussed everything around here. It's the Flagship Podcast. We even discussed gymnastics if you stick around long enough, man.
Yeah, we Kwame, you missed a few weeks ago when we talked about the Gators beating Miami in baseball. So missed you that week.
I think Miami got smacked this weekend.
Sounds about right.
No surprise. Man, I mean, the ROI on Ruiz Bucks recently has been rough. Football's down. Basketball, one of the most disappointing teams in the NCAA this season. Baseball struggling.
Well, life wall is struggling. Kwame. I'm glad you listened to the
podcast. Make sure you hit the like button, Kwame, while you're here. Gators play Jacksonville, and they go to LSU this year in baseball. Jacksonville usually is a challenging game, no matter what. And then LSU is number six in the country right now, number six or number five, down from number two this past weekend. But again, it's another tough week in baseball.
Yeah, get a little rematch of the championship series. Both teams lost a lot of talent. I think Paul Skenes and Wyatt Langford might break camp on major league rosters. So both teams lost a lot of talent, but it's always a great series. And that's a great stadium.
We didn't talk to the Florida State game. What went wrong that game?
So I was joking with somebody. I was like, it's hard to ask Kevin O'Sullivan questions at the press conference, because every game is the same thing. It's walking guys or getting behind in counts. Mm-hmm. Florida's averaging, before this weekend, Florida was averaging 6 runs in their losses. And I had a pitcher, former UF pitcher, text me, and he was like, if you gave our staff 6 runs, we were winning the game. So that's what happened. Immediately out of the gate, Florida got in trouble, not being able to throw strikes. I think Alex Philpott did well in the first inning and then gave up 3. The FSU, I think, scored 7 in the first 4. I don't have the box score pulled up, but just walking guys, getting behind in counts. Florida's been living in fastball counts and getting hit. So
Florida was terrible last year. How did they improve so quickly?
Link Jarrett's good. He's going to get FSU back to like where they should be. He's a really, really good coach. And I think they did some portal, but he's also a good recruiter. It'll take time. But, yeah, it's going to be a more competitive series than it had been for the last decade.
Good to hear. We've been dominating the in-state boys, man. We need some competition around here.
So Gators baseball back on the diamond on Tuesday.
Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So take a look at them.
I think it's late first pitch this week too. Yeah, 8 p.m. Friday.
Yeah, right. 7 p.m. Central. So perfect. So we will move on. Gators go on a big run, end up just short of the SEC tournament championship. But let's run through those games. The Gators on Thursday played Georgia. They won 85-80. Todd Golden is now 5-0 against Michael White. The Gators then move on to Alabama, win 102-88 in a game that they started down 8-0. Ended up just really dominating the rest of the game from there on out. So a great win for them. Texas A&M, they win 95-90, another comeback win for the boys. They're down, I believe, 18 at one point during the first half, and then they have a rematch against Auburn, who they'd beat earlier in the year, just kind of dummied them. Gators just unfortunately lose that one 86-67. At one point, they were down 12, 15 points. They ended up getting it down to one. And then Auburn goes on a bit of a run there. Unfortunate news out of the SEC championship game, though. The Gators center, Micah Hangloten, suffered a broken leg, went to surgery right after the game. And he tweeted yesterday that he was out. And he said, "Gator Nation, thank you for all the love and prayers. It's helped me more than anyone can imagine. Keep supporting the boys so we can make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. I love you all." So let's talk a little bit about that. Then we'll talk about NCAA tournament. Gentlemen, Silk, I know you weren't able to watch much. Nick, I know you're at baseball, but the boys were close, further than we thought.
Yeah, I mean, they made a little run, you know, had the hiccup at Vanderbilt, but I think by the time they tipped at Vandy, they were already locked into their seed for the SEC tournament. Looked really good. I think they scored 100 against Bama twice this year.
Yeah,
came back against A&M. 102. It's tough. Like, Micah went down so early. It's tough to refocus, get back into a game. Obviously, you're losing that production, but just mentally for the team to stay in it and stay focused is a challenge. So, unfortunate. I think he has eligibility still.
I don't believe so.
No? Oh, that's worse then. But yeah, how much do you think it will affect them?
Oh, he does.
Now moving into the tournament.
I got confused. He does have. Yeah.
How much do you think it will affect them? Oh, three times. Look at Tawan picking up. How much do you think it'll affect Florida in the tournament? They have the winner of what? Colorado?
Colorado and Boise State. Boise State. Only a sophomore. Yeah, no, I got confused. I know. I mean, obviously it's a tough loss for the Gators. You know, I know a lot of people are really high on a few of the other players that the Gators have. I know that Micah was, you know, not a big point scorer or anything else, but he goes down 2 minutes into the game. Just a really tough, unfortunate scene for the Gators. And, you know, it's interesting. You didn't see Riley Kugel the last two games at all. The team obviously had been running a lot of minutes, super high-paced offense. Almost wonder if, you know, maybe they caught up with the fatigue bug a little bit there, but certainly the shooting in the first couple games was nowhere near. You know, you score 85, 102, 95, and then 67 in your final game. Maybe there's a little fatigue there. But, you know, for a guy in Riley Kugel who we thought was going to be, you know, a potential first round draft pick this year, was very, very excited about him coming back to Gainesville this year. Saw 0 minutes against Auburn. I believe saw 0 minutes against Texas A&M as well. So that's certainly a surprise for the Gators. Obviously somebody's in the doghouse.
Right. The 7C, a lot of people complain about that 7C. Do you think that was kind of already in the books before the injury, or that did the injury have any impact on that?
I don't know. Like, the selection Sunday started at 6. So like, how much are you even changing your seed? I was talking to Graham Hall at baseball about that yesterday. I was like, "Oh, do you think Florida could win the tournament and move up to like a 5 seed?" And he was like, I think the brackets are set. Like, Yale and Brown were playing yesterday, and they had to win that game to get in. But he was like, in terms of championship, I think it's kind of like an exhibition, and Florida was kind of locked in. I thought they would be a 5 or a 6 and was surprised to see a 7.
Yeah, I know Joe Lunardi had the Gators as, you know, he does his whole thing, and then he ranks the top 4 seeds in each, I guess, each part of the bracket. And he has the Gators, or had the Gators before, obviously, the bracket came out, as the next two to deserve that 4 seed. Now, obviously, you know, Joe Lenardi's not the one picking the bracket, but I thought the seven seed was a bit egregious. You know, you are then matched up against Marquette in that next round, which, you know, I think is somewhat favorable, but compared to where they could have been. But it's almost like if the Gators would have lost to Texas A&M, Micah doesn't get hurt, you're probably in the same seed. And, right. You know, is that better? Right. And so obviously you want to go and you want to compete for the national champ or the SEC championship, but that's, you know, just kind of a tough look to be a seven seed after you go on that, that long run. Gators obviously have, you know, a lot of pretty big victories this year. Alabama's a four seed. Gators have the same record as Alabama. Gators beat Alabama twice. So that's kind of weird. But just, it seems a little low. I was expecting a five, maybe a six seed.
Yeah, I thought six and maybe if they won the tournament, move up to a five, but that shows what I know.
Yeah.
Right.
But the Gators will play at 4:30 on Friday. Like we mentioned, they will play either the winner of Boise State or Colorado. There's no lines out for that right now, obviously, because that game hasn't been played yet. But if you look at the brackets right now and the chances of winning the basketball championship this year, the Gators are at plus 7,500. So it means if you bet 100 and the Gators win, you will win $7,500. They're ahead of a lot of five seeds, six seeds, seven seeds, eight seeds. So the analysts or the betting analysts are ranking them a bit higher than maybe the bracket themselves did. And maybe their path is in there as well. To make the Elite Eight, they're at plus 425. And to win their bracket, sorry, just give me one second here. They are plus 1,200 to win the South bracket of the tournament.
Mike White got an extension as well. Not Mike White. Woo. I hope he gets an extension at Georgia.
Yeah.
But Ty Golden got an extension 2 year. What's the details on that?
I'm not sure. Zach wrote that for us, but I think his original contract was 6 years. So he was, or maybe five. So he was like under that 4 year when coaches start saying, I don't know if they still do this with NIL and in the portal, when coaches start saying like, hey, Todd only has 3 years. They haven't been good. So I think it was just a re-up to get him back, to more than 4 years, but fantastic season, fantastic run late. They struggled early, but they're playing their best basketball before the injury in March. They're peaking at the right time. I do wonder though, how many, I guess Will Richards back, Mike will be back. There's a bunch of guys that will be gone. How much success do you continue having in the transfer portal? He's been fantastic, in the portal. And is that the way you want to go? I think the transfer portal can change basketball even more than football just because of roster sizes and how many you're playing.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, when you consider it, the Gators' entire starting lineup now is transfers. That doesn't include E.J. Jarvis, who transferred from Yale, who retired from basketball before the season started. He was the Patriot League Player of the Year, I believe, or Ivy League Player of the Year. Last year. So, and then he hit on both of his high school recruits as well. Mm-hmm. So may lose some to the portal. You're going to probably go and have to rebuild this team as well. Year one transfer portal, not great. Year two, obviously spectacular. You build on that and hopefully, you know, this is a good, fun, exciting team to watch. It's been a hell of a lot more fun to root on this team, no matter how they finish, than it was under Mike White.
Yeah, and that was important for you to say, Nick. Basketball rosters are quicker flip. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get to success a little bit faster. I think the coach's leash should be shorter as well because the rosters are easier to flip. I know people want to compare it to football. We want to be good at football as well. Everybody does, but the comparison between Ty and Billy is just it's not equal as far as flipping rosters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So again, the Gators will play at 4:30 on Friday. So hopefully your boss lets you out of work a couple minutes early and you can go watch that. And hopefully we will then see them play again on Sunday. All right, boys, let's do a quick shout out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Go visit homefieldapparel.com. Promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. All one word will get you 15% off of your order. Anything that you want vintage logo-wise for the Florida Gators. They're also doing a lot of pushes around March Madness. They do some surprise gifts and surprise shirts as well. So go check them out. Again, can't speak highly enough for Home Field Apparel and the products and the quality of their products. So again, homefieldapparel.com, promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. We'll get you 15% off of your order. Boys, I think it's time for a little football talk. They're back tomorrow. Nick?
Back on the field tomorrow. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. I think, and I probably should know this, but I need to check. I think they can be in helmets and shoulder pads tomorrow. And I think they have to be in shells Thursday too. I think it's okay. Two in helmets, two in shells, and then you can be in full pads.
All right.
But the way we're going, so they're going to be employees. We're going to collective bargain that. It's going to be like the NFL. There's going to be no tackling at practice.
We definitely need tackling at practice. What do you guys think? We need all the tackling we can, man. Even in the shells and or just helmets. Let's tackle and all of that stuff. Practice on some form and whatnot. What do you guys think about Nick Saban's statements over the week? That's been hot topics all over the timeline and the media.
Did he which one of his $1 million vacation houses did he make the statement from,
right?
Off of the talent that he was able to recruit, and everyone has a piece of it. So like Nick Saban had a part of it. He gave kids an opportunity to come and develop and better their life, maybe get to the NFL. The kids made Nick Saban in Alabama very rich by producing. So like, I think it's a older coach not liking that the game changed and he couldn't do anything to stop it. And I think, well, one, he's old, but I think he was like at retirement age, but he probably just doesn't like it because it's not what he's used to. And it's not perfect. Like NIL is not perfect. The transfer portal is not perfect, but going back to what we had 4 or 5 years ago where coaches could flip, go somewhere else at the drop of a dime and kids were just stuck. Like,
yeah,
Grimsley would be at Alabama right now 3 years ago. Nick Saban retires. He's been there for however long. You think you're going to play for Nick Saban. You get to campus early. He's gone. You're stuck unless you want to sit out. So things had to change. I don't know that it runs smoothly right now. But the world of college football, once you start legally paying, and now the NCAA is not policing the portal at all, you can go to 5 schools in 5 years if you want to. I think we got to figure some of that out. But to me, it was a old man yells at cloud.
I'm with you on that.
Here's a couple quotes from Nick Saban. He testified in front of Congress. All of these things that I believed in for all of these years, 50 years in coaching, no longer exist in college athletics. It seems very hyperbolic, but anyway, it was always about developing players. It was always about helping people be more successful in life. My wife even said to me, we would have all the recruits over on a Sunday with their parents for breakfast. She would always meet with the mothers and talk about how she was going to help impact their sons and how well they would be taken care of. I know Kirby Smart also had a quote last week where he was saying that players were less concerned about development and more worried about the money that they'll receive in college. Mike Krzyzewski, the former Duke coach who retired, was on the Dan Patrick show. He kind of threw a little bit of a shot at Nick Saban, said, I didn't retire because of the new environment in college sports. It would have been exciting to try to adapt to that. You have to keep adapting. This is the biggest adaptation, I think, in the history of college athletics. He then went on to say, instead of complaining about what it is, just accept the fact that this is a new time. Just because it isn't like the old doesn't mean it's not okay. This is what it is, and we should figure out how to do in the best interest of someone.
Shout out to Coach K, man. He gets it. Big fan of Nick Saban as well, bro. He's the GOAT, but he's just totally off on this. I think Prime has a Deion has a similar take to him. I think it's lazy when they say these guys lose hunger because they're getting paid. Like, no, it's the coach's job, right? It's the professional's job to connect with these guys, to build a winning culture, to make it to make it more than just a paycheck. And I think it's also disingenuous to say, because some of these guys don't go to the NFL. Like when guys get NFL checks, you still have to keep these guys, those guys engaged. They still got to be hungry. I don't know what the right 3 or 4 year difference is going to make with guys getting a check and then not wanting to play. You're going to have Jamarcus Russells regardless. And you're going to have kids that just get that check and quit. But for the most part, these kids aren't getting paid enough to lose hunger. Like you have the Lagways and the big dogs, the quarterback, the Arch Mannings that come in. They're making some crazy money as quarterbacks. But in this entirety, these kids aren't making enough money to fold. And I'm not seeing that as an issue when I look around the country. Like kids is balling. You know, and the ones that are getting checks are still balling. Like who got a check in NIL and stopped playing well?
I think it's just about control. It's about control. That's like when Nick Saban went to the NFL, realized quickly, like, I don't have the same control over these guys that I did at LSU. A lot of these guys are making more money than me now. I can't tell a 13-year left tackle veteran, hey, we're doing gassers after practice. Absolutely not. So he went back. But now that power dynamic is changing or has changed. And I think a lot of the coaches who were successful when they had all the power over their rosters, it's a tough adjustment.
Yeah, right. It's more the control, you know, but I that's the thing I like to watch. Like, I need an example of who got a big NIL check and just folded, quit, rolled off into the sunset. Yeah. I haven't seen that. And these players should want the best business opportunity because the portal's wide open. So initially, if you call me and you're recruiting me, I want to know what the business is like, because if you leave or if the football team starts to falter, I can enter the portal, you know, but I can't rewind time and get that bread back. Like that time is gone. So you got to maximize your earning potential. That's what they teach you when you in life and business. That's maximize every your earning potential.
Correct. Part of business, right? Yeah. No part of business has ever been about that. Right. Just trying to find Nick Saban also said it's whoever wants to pay the most money, raise the most money to buy the most players is going to have the best opportunity to win. Like, I mean, what do you think every major company in the United States does? You pay to acquire talent, right? And you pay to get the best. You want to know what something about those teams are or those companies that hire the best people? They also have very high expectations of those people as well. So I would hope that if you want to win and this is your way to win, then you're going to try to get the best players and then you are going to hold them to that expectation and that's how you win, right? You can't just get a bunch of prima donnas. I want to get paid. You're never going to win that way. Right. You're going to have that expectation. You're going to have the parameters and the safeguards in place to make sure that you are building a successful company, a successful team, whatever it might be. But, you know, I think, you know, while you can say, I wish, you know, I miss college football the way that it was, it's just not the way that it is anymore. And you have to adapt. And you're now giving players the opportunity to get paid while universities for over 100 years have been just collecting checks on behalf of all of these players and building multi-hundred-million-dollar facilities, doing massive upgrades to stadiums, right? That money has never trickled down to players, and it's still not trickling down to players. But now there's an opportunity for these kids to get played and to go and whine and complain about Congress about, that's just, you know, I'm worried about the development of these players. It's like you don't care about the development of that player, or they're not mutually exclusive either, right?
Right.
Great point. Yeah.
I think Nick was just upset that the recruits could afford their own chargers and he had to switch up the whole recruiting strategy.
I mean he gave them a charger and they still was motivated, right? Like they was getting money. We know Bama players was getting checks, bro. They was getting taken care of. Their families were being taken care of and they still was winning. You give me a charger, I'm not going to, oh, let's ride off to the sunset. No, I want a Ferrari. Like these guys aren't getting checks to make them, like they're from poverty, most of them. These little checks aren't making them satisfied, bro. Like, that's just a taste of what it could be in the NFL. That should re-motivate you to, like, get in the gym, work harder, and go get bigger checks.
And, I mean, let's be honest, too. Like, a lot of players aren't making a ton of money, right? You know, I think everybody thinks that everybody's making millions of dollars.
It's not the case.
Most players are nowhere even close to the six figures.
Right.
Right. Let alone seven figures. Right. So I think it's egregious. I also don't think that this is a new problem. It's just above board now. Right. You just hear about it more because you can negotiate instead of doing it, you know, behind the scenes. You can do it, you know, in front. Players are talking about it. They're showing off what they have, which is the same thing a lot of other people do. Right. You have a friend that gets a new car. That friend is going to post that car on their Instagram or on their Facebook. They get a new watch. They're going to post it on Facebook or Instagram. It's just new, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or there's other reasons why you're upset, which that's a you problem.
Control, right? control, yeah. Bro. Yep.
And it's going to keep changing. Like, I think I joked about it earlier, them being employees, because I think we have to get to some sort of revenue sharing. And I think you have to be an employee for that. I think that's where we're going. But that then, if they become, I guess, employees, or they're, I guess you're trying to figure out a way where the schools, the athletic associations can pay the athlete. Because right now, next year, Florida and every SEC school is getting a big fat check from ESPN. The schools can't do anything to like give players that money. So I think we're still moving. It's still going to change. I don't know when it's going to get fixed, or we'll look at it and be like, oh yeah, that works. That works well now. But I think that's the way we're moving. It was unfortunate that the NCAA just fought it. And then mm-hmm. Congress was like, hey, let's look at your antitrust status. And they were like, you know what? Let's do NIL. That sounds awesome. Never mind, guys. So there was no like uniform rules set in place because the NCAA just fought it until Congress was like, we're not listening to you anymore. And we're going to start looking into you. And they were like, forget we were ever here. Yeah. You guys transfer NIL, all of it. Just hasn't been great guidance from the NCAA.
It's lazy. Hold the NCAA and the universities accountable for what NIL is and that and the status of everything, not the players. I think that's lazy, and everybody's continuing that take, even some of the fans, bro. No, the institutions need to get some organization and to align some things. NCAA is proven to be, you know, powerless at this point. Like, there's not a whole lot they can do. Tennessee just flexed on them, and all of that's getting, you know, brushed to the side. So it's like, get the institutions and the NCAA, the colleges, get all that in order. Not the players getting a check, bro. Like, that's right. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. It's out. Like, it's a wrap. Right.
And the NCAA is just a organization that exists on behalf of the members that are there, the colleges and universities that have been profiting off of them for hundreds of years. It doesn't mean
nonprofit status, actually. So.
It doesn't mean that,
organization.
Right. It doesn't mean that there's not been opportunities to obviously go to school for free and get opportunities and, you know, be a launch pad to, you know, whatever professional organization that might be. Like, to the side of all of that, the universities and the amount of money that they make now on behalf of college athletics, especially football and basketball, is so far and away different than what it was even 15 years ago, 20 years ago, let alone 30 or 40 years ago. There's an opportunity to change. There's an opportunity to be progressive and be able to offer these players. Florida's about to make, what is it, $70 million a year in football TV rights?
I don't know if that's right.
Sounds about right. I like Dan's number. Unless you got a higher one, Nick.
Yeah, look at that up.
I like Tawan asked in the comments, what do y'all know about Billy's 45% increase in the recruiting budget and team budget? Yeah.
I'd be curious. Yeah. We'll talk about that here in a second. Let's see. SEC.
It's football. A $3 billion. The SEC gets $300 million. So you're splitting that after your operating costs among 16
schools. We got the same split as Vanderbilt. I don't think that's fair.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, we do. Everybody's even. Well,
watch the stones you're throwing after the last couple of years.
Man, that winning games is one thing. Brand is another.
So like, a Kentucky fan's going to come in here and be like, really? Florida's making the same as us?
They should sit quietly in the corner, too.
Yeah. $300 million annual. Man. All right. Maybe that's a little off.
That's so crazy.
I'll have to look it up. It's still an egregious amount of money that they're making. These schools can afford it.
I think it's up from $55 million. That was the CBS deal with the SEC was $55 million a year.
Up to $300 million.
That's a lot of
money. Yeah. We're just
a lot of money, Nick.
It's funny money.
Funny money. I think there's a. I think that's gonna pop soon. The amount of money that's being spent on sports.
I don't know. Live sports are still pulling ratings.
Yeah,
I'm telling you what, but I mean, it's all war over eyeballs now. You know, I think, you know, we're fine for now, but it's not just options on TV. Now it's your phone and everything else that can get your eyeballs, right? So it's a war of eyeballs. So I just think these egregious numbers, I mean, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. And I'll be wrong a lot more times, but
I think you'll be wrong because gambling is going to end up just being legal in all 50 states.
Right. That takes it up a whole nother notch. And I got a take, bro. I think there's going to be a gambling addiction crisis here in the future, man. You used to have to fly to Vegas to get busy. And now it's at the palm of your hands. And you know, Bruno Mars was just said that like be on a debt like $55 million to like MGM.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be more Bruno Mars is around because it's a very addictive thing, bro. If you got an addictive personality, people got that bet app at the palm of their hands, it's going to get weird. It's getting weird with some people I know already.
Yeah, and I mean, Florida just has sports betting through the Hard Rock. I was listening to a podcast yesterday from the Wall Street Journal about a psychiatrist that went $400,000 in debt. And she took a lot of the blame herself, but she talked a lot about how these gambling apps, especially with bonuses, and especially once you get a VIP host and they're throwing money towards you, how addictive it becomes. And that dopamine hit doesn't hit the same until you start spending more, right? Because then you start to win more. You want to chase your winnings, right? So I do think that it's going to be a problem in society with just how ubiquitous it is now, right? And Florida doesn't have the same number of options that you have with your DraftKings and all your other sites that are out there and all your other gaming apps that are out there. It's not ideal, that's for sure.
Your bad parlays will continue to pay ESPN pays for the SEC rights.
For sure. I think entertainment altogether, streaming altogether, whatever it is, I see all those numbers just going up in every capacity. I don't see anything going down. So I don't know why like football would change. I think it's just going to keep going crazy with the gambling.
Yeah, but $3 billion for 10 years. That was a wild contract. Because I think they signed it or agreed to it a couple years back, like 3 years back.
Did you see the Super Bowl run with Prize Picks did? They use guys like Drewski, all these different celebs and socialites to, you know, to flex up like they won money. And a lot of them didn't win money, but it was super like a super round of Super Bowl. Of course, they bought Super Bowl ads, but also you can see it very loudly on the socials. People pretending to make money with Prize Picks. And if Prize Picks, if you guys want to sponsor this show, we definitely would take you as a sponsor.
We've talked to him.
Yeah. I say it often. They don't build palaces in the desert for being wrong.
That's right.
They're going to spend billions on marketing because they will make all of that back and then some and build another sphere somewhere in Las Vegas.
I learned and that this with is a good reminder. Over and under. I lost some money with that. I didn't even tell
this is a good reminder that if you have a friend of yours that says that they can get you a hotel for free in Vegas the night because they know the people at the casino and their VIP, you should remember that that friend has lost 10x the amount of money that they've told you that they've ever lost at that casino. They don't give free rooms to people that take the house over in Vegas or even, you know, at the Hard Rock, right? So, Kwame, I see your super chat. We're going to talk a little bit about this increase to UF's recruiting budget. Then we will talk about that. So
I'm catching these hands in my building, man. What are you talking about?
The Florida Gators increased their recruiting budget 45% up to $2.89 million, up from $2 million. That is the another that's a so that's a an additional doubling of what the Gators have spent in their recruiting budget. I'm not sorry, the Orlando Sentinel. That's the information I have right now. Now the Orlando Sentinel wants me to pay money. Not going to do it for an Edgar Thompson article. Sorry, boys. So that's where we're at right now. Obviously, that money goes to some recruiting staffers as well. We've talked about it. The Gators support staff, $5.3 million in salaries there. For the 2022-2023 season, Ron Roberts is making $750,000 this year, $950,000 next year. We've also talked about it on the show that that number that Florida has from a recruiting perspective dwarfs or is far smaller than some other schools because they do have their own plane fleet, so they're not having to pay to charter flights and that kind of stuff. So increase to the budget, Gators spending a lot of money, a lot of that TV money. Going to recruiting, going to coaching salaries,
spending checks before they come in.
Yeah,
we gotta get these checks to the players, man. Right, we don't need nobody else on the Army. I don't know why they're increasing the budget. That I don't know if we add to the Army or what it does, but we gotta find a way. You know, if you need somebody to drop the bags off,
it's just
rival the U.S. military over here. Our Army is second largest employer in the state.
Infantry is crazy. I don't even know half of these people. I get a new follow from a random job like every day. I'm like, who is this?
Lockheed Martin. Do they make footballs?
Sure, they'd find a way.
I had a coach, a Big Ten coach, ask me when Billy was first hired. He's like, what did he tell Scott Strickland? I would love to have that many staff. Like, that would make my life so much easier. Billy Napier has gotten everything that he's asked for. Like, the staff is huge. The budget is steered towards football. You can argue that it should be because football is the revenue producer. I got here in 2013. I've never seen the University Athletic Association just like buy in, just whatever you need, whatever you tell us that you need to be successful, we'll do it. We'll figure it out. That's probably a good theory.
You want to hear my theory?
I think I know what it is. Go ahead, Dan.
You only get one more. This is your last chance. If you're the athletic director, this is your last chance to make it work. So you're going to throw all sorts of money at the problem, right? And sometimes that works. Oftentimes it doesn't. But that's where we're at. I think that you're in Hail Mary approach in a variety of different ways. I think from the football program and I think from the athletic department, you have to make this one work out because I don't think you get a third football coach hiring.
I think Billy walked into the transition of what football coach is. I think the blueprint would have worked in old football of the big staff, spending money, you know, throwing a lot at recruiting staff wise and, you know, having everybody attention to detail in certain ways and overpaying, like Nick saying, like whoever spends the most money, you know, is going to win games. So he come in with that Nick Saban Bama blueprint, but the game has changed. And a lot of our funds and a lot of our resources just need to be allocated towards NIL because it's the Jimmy and Joes. Like, the coaches matter, but more so the players, getting the right players on the roster matter. So I just think like that philosophy and the blueprint of what he had when he walked in would have worked, you know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, but not even three. He's been here like three. But before NIL, I think it would have worked. But right now,
It's tough. I think Scott Strickland got put into a bad spot because Florida was so far behind in facilities that he had to start changing baseball, softball needed revamped. So he still is in the mindset of, hey, we need to do this hundreds of millions of dollar renovation to the Swamp. They're trying to do a new golf course and a whole new golf setup. And every time I bring it up to Scott or to Billy, it's, hey, we have 500,000 living alumni. And I'm like, but you just keep adding hands. And that those you're adding extra hands that are going to the same people and saying, hey, boosters, maybe there's a millionaire who graduated from the engineering school and he wants to send his $1 million to the College of Engineering this year. Well, we need it for golf and for football and Florida Victorious over here. And it's just like, where do you send your money? I saw Ole Miss's AD come out maybe a couple weeks ago and said, hey, we're shelving our $300 million stadium renovation. He's like, I know where it is on the shelf. We'll come back to it. But we're going to be directing people to donate to the Grove Collective, which is their smart, thing. So
yeah,
it's tough because
I, mentality. Yeah,
and Scott gets a lot of crap for building, but I think he needed to. Like, they were on track to put that beautiful new football facility they have was going to be in the corner over by track and field. It was going to be three stories. It was going to be a mess. So he's done. He's built a beautiful baseball stadium. The football facility operates way better than it would have. So he's done things that he needs to do, but at like his master plan, then they threw in NIL and they threw in the transfer portal. And it's just like, I think you need to look at it and say, can we raise starting at $400 million for the Swamp at the same time of putting a competitive product on the field and directing people to donate to NIL?
Yeah. And I mean, you have a chicken and the egg problem, right? Do people donate because you're losing and say, hey, we need to donate more money to try to get better players? Or do you say, hey, we've had a losing product for the last 3 years. Is my money better used elsewhere? Right. And you can imagine that if you are a wealthy donor that's being courted by the University of Florida athletic department, you're also being courted by the University of Florida, whatever college you went to, what other activities or interests that you have in your life. Fundraising, the ability to know how much money you are and what kind of whale you would be is very out there now. Everybody wants money right now, and the economy is fickle right now. Some are doing great. Some are getting by trying to figure out what's going on. Interest rates are significantly higher now than they used to be. So that's impacting a lot of people. You know, it's a tough time, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer. I know that you can criticize Scott for a lot of things, but his ability to fundraise so far has been pretty legitimate. So, all right, let's get to Kwame. If you guys don't know, Kwame is a noted Miami Hurricanes fan and a huge supporter of Stadium and Gale. He dropped a Super Chat donation in here and said, last year, Silk stated that Cam Ward made him nervous. How nervous is the rest of the UF fan base? Who has the advantage position by position? Kwame, I will say that we are not going to do a position by position analysis today. We will do that in August. But Silk, does Cam Ward have you nervous? And how nervous is the rest of the fan base? Feel free, everybody watching, to let Kwame know how nervous you are. Silk.
I like Cam Ward's talents, but, you know, Miami's track record of what they've done to quarterbacks, I watch Brad Kaya go from, hey, he's going to be a first rounder. I watch the guy that just transferred, what is his name? He don't even matter anymore. What's the quarterback name? Van Dyke. He was the next coming, right? I watched so many quarterbacks come here to Miami, you know, with so much promise and hope, and they just turn into rubbish. And that's what I expect from Cam Ward. Miami always have the best rosters. until the games get played and the NFL draft comes around, and then there's no talent. But in between time, they have the best roster, the most talent. Once the games get played, once the NFL draft rolls around, it's all rubbish.
So
they don't know how to nail a ball.
I had completely forgotten Brad Kaya was even a person, and Miami fans treated him like the next Tom Brady.
Yeah, they sure did. Kwame has said, I need some data to support this. Now that NIL is allowing Miami to be Miami, we can stack NFL-worthy talent in the trenches and at skill positions. So we are in our third year of NIL. Don't think that Miami has had a presence on the national stage during that time, I'm going to let Kwame provide some data. Folks in the chat, Tawan, he's not nervous about Miami. Tyler's not nervous about Miami, so on behalf of
bringing Cam Ward in Mario Cristobal to the Swamp and winning. I know it's going to be a mid off of coaches. Just keep it a bean, right?
The battle of the mid.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hot seat bowl. Whoever loses is going to be on a screamingly hot seat. But bro, this stadium, you're not bringing Cam Ward and a guy that don't know how to do the victory formation and winning in my building. That's not happening. It's just not happening. It's loud in there, man.
I think both coaches are probably in the same spot. You're like, you're under 500 going into year three. You're trying to sell hope. And like, good luck selling hope to your fan base, losing this rivalry game. And it's not even like, I feel like losing this game is even worse than like FSU, because you'll get FSU again next year.
Right.
Florida and Miami will play next year, but then when will they play again? So
I think it's 27.
Oh, so they don't play in 20.
I think we got them next year.
25?
25. Go down to Miami 25. It's a home and home.
Oh.
Sorry.
But even a little more elevated.
We gotta go down there, unfortunately, man.
Yeah. But I think the stakes are a little higher for Billy, like you said, Silk.
Do you see that they're doing their spring game as like an invite-only thing at like their practice facility?
Yeah, they're doing it at like the YMCA.
Lockhart Stadium anymore?
No, Hard Rock had already booked the birthday party, I believe. So.
Yeah, no, you guys are right. August 31st, 2024, and then September 20th, 2025 in Miami Gardens.
But I think it's more on the line for Billy because it is at home. It's easier to sell, hey, we lost a road game in a tough stadium than it is.
Tough stadium, Nick.
For Miami coming to Florida.
They got to come to the Swamp.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Easier to sell Miami
Stadium. I thought you were saying Miami Gardens is a tough stadium if the Gators were playing away.
No, it's an NFL stadium with an NFL team.
We're going to fill that thing with orange and blue, man.
Let's see. Tawan said we have Ron Roberts and a real co-OC that knows Billy's system. Let's talk a little bit about Ron Roberts. He was, I guess he spoke to the media the other day, Nick.
Yes, I was at baseball though.
Okay, cool. So I got a couple of quotes here on Ron Roberts, who will be the coach of the coaches on defense, head coach of defense, some title. It's comforting to know, or for him to know what you're getting into. I believe a lot of things he believes in about developing the team, players, programs, running things, and all of that stuff. You always want to be in a system to be firing away, but it's a lot easier when you're already 100% in and let's go dive in. I'm ready to go. I'm glad we got the opportunity to get back together. Ron Roberts on Austin Armstrong. I mean, he's brilliant. He's very smart. He's going to have a future to do whatever he wants in his profession. It's going to be tremendous. I'm just happy to be here to have the opportunity to help him in ways. And that's one thing you get with a chance to be older. You've seen some things. So number of other quotes in here, but you know, as you can imagine, probably a lot of coach speak there.
Yeah, we'll see game one, man. And I don't think we're going to learn a lot in the spring. If the pass rush is good, we're going to be thinking the O-line's bad. If the pass rush is bad, we're going to be thinking the D-line's bad. So I don't think we're going to learn a lot. I thought our D-line was excellent last year. We all was hyping it up and felt good about it going into the fall. And then it went to rubbish a little bit. And then we kind of seen that our offensive line was bad, right? So just wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
Wait and see mode for me. Yeah. But I am excited to have somebody older in that room with Austin Roberts. Austin Armstrong. Oh my God, mixing both of the names. Hey, that might be that's a Nilk thing right there, a little bit.
It's a Nilk thing. It might be the Austin Roberts defense, you know what I mean?
I like it.
That's an interesting dynamic. Roberts was the defensive coordinator at Louisiana, and Austin Baylor was his graduate assistant.
Yeah.
So a little shift in power dynamic there, but they're saying all the right things, that Austin's calling plays, that they were talking weekly all last year. We'll see how it plays out. He said one other thing, Dan, that like we have to be elite tackling.
Yes.
Sorry, I missed that. Like tackling coach, I think is what Armstrong called him. So I'm guessing Ron will take that too. It's tough to practice it. Like they don't really tackle at football practice anymore. But yeah, that's been, when was the last time you would say Florida's defense was a good tackling unit.
McIlwain days.
Yeah. Gosh, I Muschamp days.
He still has some Muschamp.
That's what it was. Yeah. He was still cooking with Champ's leftovers.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, but it's been a long time. I mean, we complain about missed tackles for all of the last two coaching staffs.
Yep.
Right?
You can be exotic overall on toughness, defense.
I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you can be exotic on defense, put people all over the place. At the end of the game, at the end of the day, it's a simple game. You got to get the guy with the ball on the ground consistently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need some gangsters, most importently. Shamar James back healthy is going to help us. So
every time we post this on YouTube, everybody's like, got to get more gangsters. That's just the thing. It's just what we need, more gangsters on the team.
Man, you need that mentality. You need your Major Rights. You need your Brandon Spikes. You need guys with that edge. We got a lot of nice guys here right now. So we'll see, man. But I like the freshman linebackers that are coming on camera. I think Miles Graham and forget my linebacker out of Aaron Childs. Yeah, correct.
Pup Howard.
I think we got some gangsters on the way. Pup Howard, I like his game. But I think in the middle, you just need somebody. I like Shamar. He's not a bark guy. He's not a rah-rah guy, but
between he's not Antonio Morrison.
Nah. That's probably our last
mark.
Dog.
Realest gangster, right? You know? Shout out to Antonio Morrison, man. I miss that guy. That hit on EJ Manuel. I think about that just random times when I need just a little motivation in my life and a smile on my face. That changed a lot of things that night. Yeah. But yeah, I think we got some guys on the way. They're just young. But being young is not an excuse this year. Shamar James is going to be back and healthy. He's going to do what he got to do. He's going to do some gangster things. He's just not a barking guy. He just gets the job done and quietly go back to the huddle. But I did see in one clip where he's being more vocal and showing more leadership. And I do like that from him. Shamar James.
Yeah.
Haven't seen him speak a lot at practices, and he was kind of rallying the guys. So, maybe he could take on some leadership roles and get more vocal. We'll see. But that's what I think we're missing on the defensive side more than anything. And ball hawks at safety. Too many overthrown balls, errant throws that aren't being, nobody's paying the price for bad throws in a long time. You know what I'm saying? So just fix down the middle. We'll see. Got some time. I'm going to lie all the way to the game. And there's no reason not to lie because Miami stinks. Both parties align. It's mutual.
Here's another quote on Ron Roberts, just about what being called the godfather of the defense means. He said his scheme and priorities that will come with it. Well, it's still the basic same things. We want to stop the run. We want to be efficient. We want to get off the field on third down. Those are basic parameters. And we want to make sure your calls are based upon those things, especially facing great coaches in the SEC every week. But you also got to be multiple so you can use your talents so that in some ways you're leaning in and you got more and more edge rushers. You got more D linemen. You got more DBs. How can you use those guys to get the best people on the field to help you win football games? About tackling, we've got to emphasize it. We've got to be great in that category. That's what this game is about. You do all this stuff and you can draw it up, but if you can't tackle them and get them on the ground, it's kind of a problem. It sure is. So we'll focus on those basics and those fundamentals, make sure we're getting better as a group. The Gators ranked 111th in college football last year in tackling. 116 missed tackles last year, 132 missed tackles in 2022.
You are right, Nathaniel Rogers. The key is the weight room.
Yep.
And to want to. You got to want to smack people and tackle people. I don't think the weight room brings that type of mentality, but it definitely helps when you try to wrap up getting guys to the ground. You need strength. And I did see your comments about DEI, but I don't know if you want to jump into that. It's been a show.
Yeah. All right, boys. Any final comments before we close out for the day?
I don't think so.
Ad read Silk. I know you've got Song of the Week.
Oh, be prepared for that.
All right, cool. Well, as always, quick shout out to our friends over at Alumni Hall. If you are in Gainesville, go visit them on Archer Road, or if you are on the World Wide Web, that is alumnihall.com. Let them know Stadium and Gale sent you. Anything that you'd want, accessories and apparel wise, from infant to grandparent and anything in between, tailgate supplies, golf supplies, t-shirts, polos, whatever you guys might want, go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them on Archer Road. And again, if you are on YouTube, please, please, please hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, share it with your friends. We appreciate your time today. Silk, take us out.
Man, I wasn't prepared, but I'm gonna keep it chill. Let me get Low Tide, Destin Conrad. Some good vibes. That's all I got. Cool.
All right, boys. Corner, we'll see you at the same corner, same time next week. We appreciate you guys all for watching and talk to you guys soon.
Took psilocybin in this bitch, I'm feeling way. Wish you come find me in the same city, you won't find me. Now my ego bruised, what I'm hearing is true. That you and so been rocking on the low. I met him the other night and low key he a vibe though. Wish I could give you more. Baby, I'm running low. Wish I could've gave you more, but baby, I was running low.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.